This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's going on? Tiki and Tierney coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, somebody wins $50,000. In the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes, see rules and enter for free. Go to rocketmortgagesquares.com. All right, so Kyrie Irving front and center here. We'll get to this interesting part of the equation. And Big Perk, boy, Kendrick Perkins, he doesn't raise his voice much, but he is an ominous, frightening figure when he delivers his right. He really is. But he had some interesting stuff about basically moving the goalposts a bit in a different direction pertaining to the GOAT conversation. It's the only reason we're going to dip our toe in that, because for the most part, it's recycled regurgitation and it's boring. What he said really caught my attention, and quite frankly, I might agree, and it's pro-LeBron in terms of the whole MJ-LeBron dynamic, which, as you know, I've always been pro-MJ in terms of the GOAT, for sure, without even coming close to wavering. All right, Kyrie Irving. You know, let's blow through some of the sound because it's really important. Sean Marks, this obviously on the heels of the James Harden acquisition, and Sean Marks is the general manager for the Brooklyn Nets, touched on a few things. And first, I want to play this. If Kyrie's absence led to the Nets making this move,
no, they're completely separate from one another. You know, Kyrie's absence and, you know, the personal issues that he's dealing with, it has nothing to do with
us going after and attaining James Harden
in this.
Yeah. I'm going to take Sean at his word there. I think that that's a very fair representation of the way this went down. Now, did it maybe accelerate things? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Did it maybe incentivize them to reach in for an extra first round pick to make this happen
just in case?
Maybe. But I believe the parameters and the framework, and more importantly, the willingness to go and make this happen, has been there for a long time. So I believe what Sean said.
I 100% agree. And at the end of the day, as much as, you know, we're excited, or people in Brooklyn are excited about James Harden, and even if before James Harden they were excited about the Kevin Durant Kyrie Irving pairing, this has always been about Kevin Durant. That's who they need to appease and placate and, you know, make happy and keep a solid other superstar around. And now with this uncertainty with Kyrie Irving, it wasn't to, I don't know, replace Kyrie to bring in James Harden. It was just to bring in someone who also was going, who's going to continue to incentivize Kevin Durant to stay in Brooklyn post the, you know, when his contract expires. Mm-hmm. And James Harden has a player option in 2022, so that gives you at least another couple of years of hopefully KD wanting to stay here in Brooklyn. I think it comes down to.
To me, as a quick aside, I don't, certainly Kevin Durant, I do. Mm-hmm. I don't view James Harden as a desirable asset in a couple of years.
Well, they're boys, that's why.
Well, I understand that, but
yeah, they're very tight. You know, I was told. So that, I think that's why that came in. That's why it became urgent.
Wait, did you just drop a I was told?
Yeah, I was told that. Oh, yeah. So once because I asked, I was like, what's the deal with this? What's the deal with this James Harden thing? Are they tight? The response was very.
What were you told about his relationship right now with Kyrie Irving?
The same thing everybody else is hearing about Kyrie Irving. Very distant right now.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I think that's just because Kyrie is being distant.
Well, sure. I mean, distant, if that's a synonym for unprofessional,
yes,
sure.
Yes, but I mean, just not communicating, not like, what the heck's going on, Kyrie?
Yeah.
I'm really interested. I'm not usually curious about these things. Someone has personal reasons that they're doing something, whatever it may be. And I'm usually not curious. I'm like, yeah, in time I'll find out. Whatever. You'll tell me it's not affecting my curiosity meter. This is really affecting my curiosity meter, talking about Kyrie's absence in a way that I didn't think I would be affected by it as a sports fan. I really just want to know if it's something serious or if it's something.
Is he coming back?
Emotional? Is he contemplating retirement? What is, it's just really hard to guess. You know, sometimes you can guess this guy, he just doesn't want to play anymore. Or he's had some injuries and you can tell he's coming to the end. It's none of that. So you're basically blind guessing, which is a little bit frustrating because, I mean, we like Kyrie as a player. He's just some of these actions off court have been confounding.
But
I mean,
listen, but there's a scent that brings us at least to a home base that gets us in the neighborhood as to knowing why Kyrie Irving's not there right now.
Yes, of course.
At least the initial response, you know, the thought was, you know, based on what happened at the Capitol, he was distraught, didn't want to play. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the origin. I think that most people accept that. But I think after that, excuse me, where it gets murky, all right, eventually that emotional volatility, which is understandable in the moment, even a day after or even 2 days after. I mean, now I'm just getting repetitive, but now that's completely unprofessional. Just to finish my thought about Harden, I get you. That would be a liaison in all probability to keep Kevin Durant past the expiration of Kevin Durant's current deal. But James Harden in a couple of years, James Harden's going to get max money. And if you have to give him max money placate Kevin Durant, I'm not doing it. I don't want James Harden on my team when he's 35 years old.
So James Harden, I have it sitting right in front of me, BT. $41 million he's making this year, $44 next year, and then he has a player option in 2022, $47.
Okay.
In 2022,
which he'll probably opt out of because he'll still be in his mid-30s. He'll be 34 at that point?
Yeah, 34. He'll be 33. That's 33. That's his age 33 season.
Then he's going to get multi-years at max money. He could do two in and out. I mean, he could structure it creatively.
Which is what Houston wanted to do with him, right?
Yes, correct.
But
that was a supermax extension.
And he can't do that.
And he still didn't want it.
Yeah, you're right. So I don't think it's about money anymore for James Harden, though.
I agree with you.
I think James Harden wants to win a championship.
That's admirable.
I have to win a championship. Otherwise, I am not on equal playing field with all my boys who have
And
them
by the
already.
Way, Teague, I don't begrudge him for doing that.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge. But my issue is, much like Kyrie, you got to be professional. Mm-hmm. You got to be professional. And we'll play this cut from DeMarcus Cousins. Boogie wasn't feeling it. But I want to stay on track with the Nets and the Sean Marks stuff because then there's an avenue to get into the report that Kyrie Irving is furious with the Nets, and we'll make sense of that. Okay, so Sean Marks was asked if the team is unhappy with what's going on. Here's Sean Marks' response to that.
You know, without a doubt, I'm not going to shy away from, without a doubt, the organization's disappointed with not having, you know, any one of our players. In this particular case, Kyrie,
more basic
not,
stuff,
not amongst
that
us.
That is
not,
a transparent answer.
You know, in the trenches with us and
he
so
really
forth.
Had no other answer, but he did answer it, although that was a good answer, a quality answer. This next cut to me is interesting. I want to play this because this is about, you know, if the team accepts basically what Kyrie's doing, and there may have been either an inconsistency, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I want to play this and in all probability circle back to something he said toward the end. Go ahead, D-Cell. This is Sean Marks more.
I think it's been well documented that if there's reasonable excuses for their absence, fine. We've got to support, whether it's our players or whether it's our staff, and you would do that in any industry. But, you know, you also hope there is an adequate, more than adequate excuse as to, like, why he needs personal time.
That is a very alarming part of the statement that nobody is picking up on. When Sean Marks says you would hope that there's an adequate, you know, excuse, he's telling everybody
he doesn't know.
I have no idea. And that is in stark contrast to the way it was reported by some based on the timeline going back to the initial missed game. Because as we know, Steve Nash did not know. Met with the reporters, post-game, didn't know. Kyrie didn't get back to him. Post-game, didn't know. Kyrie didn't get back to him. But now you're hearing Sean Moore, and people at that point framed it, well, the organization knew, but he circumvented his head coach, which is a different beef, which leads us into this anger, this reported anger that Kyrie has towards the Nets. But to me, that's a very I'm going to play it again. That's a very disconcerting, subtle, but a very disconcerting slash admission that the GM of the Nets has no idea what's going on. Bring that back, D-Cell. Go ahead.
You know, you also hope there is a an adequate, more than adequate excuse as to, like, why he needs personal time. And, you know, he will address that without a doubt.
You hope. You hope.
Yeah. You hope he addresses that without a doubt. Which
not
is
exactly.
No,
not that he'll just address it, but that it's a valid excuse to do this.
Yeah. But, I mean, ultimately, does he need one? Does he need a valid excuse if he just isn't feeling it anymore? And I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Gotcha.
Does he need one? Can he just say, it's not my passion anymore, even though I don't believe that. I'm just saying that now. But it's not my passion anymore. I feel like I can use my, relationships for a greater cause for this country and these rights that I've advocated for. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, he did not want to go back and play in the bubble. Remember this back in
October?
He was
also coming off short surgery. And so
true. He wasn't going to play anyways.
Exactly.
But he was, and he ultimately didn't play. But it was all, he was lobbying the NBAPA to actually not play in the bubble.
On that phone call, on the conference
call. That's exactly right.
And, so are you asking me? You're asking me what directly, though?
I'm not asking anything. I'm just making a statement.
Well, but no, what you said, is it a...
No, but...
Is it a viable excuse?
No, it's not a viable excuse. I don't think he needs to make an excuse. I just think he needs to tell us what's going on, or at least forget us. Now, who cares about us? He needs to tell the Nets what the hell is going on. And his teammates, because they don't know right now. But if he decides to, get involved in politics or, these others, start a foundation for social justice issues and commit his time 100% to that and try to make a difference in the world that way, he owes it to the Nets to tell him that.
Yes.
Which I don't think this is congruent with him being upset with the Nets. They're not related because I think there was a different catalyst.
Well, they could be.
Each of those two issues? No, I don't think so.
Let me tell you why. If he's really as furious at the Nets as this report states, then he might view that as an avenue to kind of get back or disrespect the Nets and say, I don't need to follow professional protocol mad at them.
Why would he do that? Did they tell him, hey, Kyrie, you're going to have input on who we hire as a head coach?
I don't know the answer to that, Teak.
I haven't seen that reported or even intimated anywhere. So I don't think that's the case. So this whole Kyrie's mad at them because he wanted more input on
the coaching
the head
hire.
Coach. I was like, what the hell? Why does he have the right to want to know?
Well, he doesn't, but it's also the modern NBA. But the report would kind of, if it's accurate, would be in line with, Kyrie feeling, enough of a disconnect either from the Nets or Nash or both that he didn't feel compelled to respond to Steve Nash texts. Mm. I mean, I know we're weaving into like the psychology of Kyrie right now,
which is not smart to do.
Well, no, I think you have to do it because it's the biggest issue in sports right now.
Yeah,
what
but
you
no,
have
I'm
to
saying,
do is
I'm
be
saying
fair.
That, I'm saying that because we don't, his psychology is very different than what we would expect, I think. From a
yeah,
lot of
yeah, but you know, he's given
I don't
us
mean
a,
that in a bad way. I'm
no, I know you don't.
It's different.
It's very different. He's a unique thinker. And listen, if he is feeling that pull, that tug to do things that you brought up before, Teak, then I think that's incredibly admirable. He just needs to leave the money on the table, and he's got to check his uniform at the door.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do both, man. Like, that's the part that just I have no tolerance for. I don't understand, or even ability to comprehend, because I don't care how much money you make. Where do you get the license to make that money while simultaneously not showing up or alerting your bosses why you're not showing up?
Yeah.
Now that's not congruent.
No,
for sure.
Yeah, but I don't think it's tied to the fact that he's upset with the Nets.
As per the report.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, I know that guy too. Not well. Certainly not going to question his sources. You know, it's not a and I don't even want to question his qualifications, which I'm not doing.
Yeah.
It's not a mainstream. It's not like it's, you know, Woj or Shams or Stephen A. or, I don't know, Bobby Marks, who's more of a capo. I'm just throwing NBA people out there. But, you know, it is from somebody. And I don't know that it's really been strongly refuted in the 20 hours that it actually emerged.
True.
I,
but how, you know, can what I mean? How can you refute it when nobody's talking?
Well, Kyrie's people can. Kyrie's camp can.
Who's if they his wanted camp, to. Though? Like, who's his camp?
I don't know.
It's LeBron's. No, he didn't sign. He's not with Rich Paul. I forget who his people are now.
I'm not sure who he's with rep-wise. Yeah. But, you know, this saga just goes on here. And, you know, I do get the sense that for now, Kevin Durant's understanding of it. And for now, you know, Steve Nash is absorbing some shots and taking it on the chin for the betterment of the franchise to project positivity and plow forward. But here's what's going to happen. Like, Kyrie, again, if he retires and does those admirable things, that's great. Then the discussion's over. The only discussion that might ensue is, in a year or two, does Kyrie get the itch to come back and bowl? And at that point, it's a totally different discussion, and we'll have it. But if Kyrie, assuming that Kyrie Irving is going to come back and play basketball this season, then the Brooklyn Nets need to begin the process of ironing out chemistry. Hmm. You have three players who are among the top six in terms of isolation, ball dominant stats, going back to 2013, 2014 in the NBA. You have three of the top four players in terms of usage rate inside of 5 minutes during clutch moments of games, meaning they all want the ball and they all expect the ball when the game's in the balance. And, you know, I guess I said yesterday, I think Kevin Durant will seamlessly transition into that. I even think that James Harden will defer initially, although Durant will probably empower him, which is what LeBron does, which is smart. Mm-hmm. I can see KD doing that as well. I see no issue with LeBron and James Harden. The issue is...
You mean KD and James Harden.
Pardon me, KD and James Harden. Thank you. Whenever Kyrie Irving comes back and inserts himself back into the equation, is it harmonious to start? And I believe it could be, because I believe his boys in the locker room will get his back, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But once I expect almost immediate disconnect on the court for the reasons I just outlined, and I definitely expect a season-long issue with Steve Nash.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going away.
Yeah.
You don't like
Nash.
You don't respect him.
No, because he doesn't think he's ready to be the head coach. And
he doesn't respect
him. So that's on Steve Nash to prove that he is. And by the way, they've won the last couple of games without Kyrie.
Yeah, they drove the Knicks last night without anybody, really.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of that game, by the way, the end of that game was so frustrating to watch. Not because I'm, you know, knocking Coach Thibodeau, but it was like...
Oh, you'd say pull Randall?
We pull within a point, or pull within, you know, 8 points, timeout. And so it just took forever.
Got to coach him up, Deke.
48 seconds. It took forever.
Hey, listen, turn the channel, man.
And ultimately, yeah, you couldn't, because they almost lost. They got within like two scores. And so they had to put KD and Joe Harris back in and Green. And I don't know. NBA basketball gets frustrating like that.
I know. I hear you. And you see that with college sometimes too. But Thibs has a lot of losing to squeeze out of that Nick organization.
Yeah, that's
and
a good point. I'm not saying. He needed to do that.
Every moment's a teachable moment. You got to maximize it. I hear you. It was lengthy.
Made for a long, like, 15 minutes. I'm like, this will be over in 5 minutes. Like, 20 minutes later, the game finally ended.
Yes or no, real quick. Kyrie back within a week?
No.
I agree with you. I don't think he's back in a week. I agree with you. All right, T, coming up, I might agree with Big Perk, who moved the goalpost a bit in terms of the whole MJ LeBron GOAT conversation. And he moved him in a direction that is, quite frankly, very interesting and very believable. Perk was making sense. I want to tell you what he said, and do we fully agree with it? And could it alter how we view the GOAT conversation? That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Gary Meyer is going to join us next. He's an author, and he's a Hall of Fame voter as well. In the NFL, we'll get into the divisional matchups. We kind of touched on it a little bit before. Weather could be an issue up in Buffalo, and Tiki and I discussed whether or not that's going to slow down Lamar Jackson. If you missed it, by the way, radio.com, Apple iTunes, podcast stuff, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney. Check it out. All right, so Kendrick Perkins is I find a really interesting figure. I just do. You know, he's a great blend of old school virtue, no nonsense. You know, he's about discipline, he's about accountability, but he's also savvy enough to incorporate the new age economics of the sport and the residual impact that has on the game of basketball. He's no real filter, right? So I didn't see this. I saw something on Twitter. Well, first of all, he was talking about the Nets, and in discussing the dynamic, the pecking order of priority, said KD's Batman. He said James Harden's Robin, and he said that Kyrie Irving is Alfred the Butler. What a great reference, right? That's good.
That is funny.
That was really good.
I don't know if Kyrie's going to love that.
No, he's going to hate it. I mean, he could have called him the Joker. He could have called him Catwoman. I mean, there's other ways
that
to go. I guess Butler's not that bad.
So that would make him the enemy, though.
Hey, stop. Just kidding. All right, so then he tweeted something out, right? And
Catwoman, maybe.
No, he said, by the way, when we had Batman come to the house for Colton's birthday a couple of weeks ago, you know, did I tell you Catwoman was with him?
Yeah, I saw the picture.
Okay, that's right. That's right. I did send you that. Yeah. Catwoman showed up.
And?
Just saying. Catwoman showed up.
I wanted you to say it, not
Catwoman
me.
Catwoman was wearing leather. She was wearing leather. She was all decked out. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying Catwoman showed up.
She looked like Catwoman. She looked
said
like
anything
Catwoman.
Else? Not implying anything else. So, you know, old school superhero references aside, right? The point and the post that got my attention this morning from Kendrick Perkins was where he said, I should preface it with, he already is an unabashed supporter of LeBron James being the GOAT.
Yes.
So you need to know that because it's not necessarily a needle tilter for him.
Mm-mm.
Could be for me, as we discussed. And his point was, if LeBron is able to beat, let's assume the Nets get to the finals, and you're going to have to assume that Kyrie Irving comes back, and Kyrie Irving is right, and it's harmonious, and those three guys are slaying people. And if they get to the finals, and LeBron and the Lakers get there, and LeBron and Lakers look really good, as we know, and he wins again, that alone, if you're not in the camp of believing he's the GOAT, should propel him to GOAT status.
Yeah, here's
What's your first reaction to that?
Here's his exact tweet, and then I'll react to it. I don't need to be convinced that Bron is the GOAT. It's stamped. This is what you said.
Yep.
But it's this
for Nets. For him, not for us.
Yes. But if this Nets team can make it out of the East and Bron takes care of them, he's the undisputed GOAT. Mm. Beating two super teams today is greater than 6-0 in the 90s. Carry on. That's what he said. I don't know if I agree with him.
Okay. Tell me why not. What's the main sticking point?
The main sticking point is to do what the Bulls did and what Jordan did, which is six straight without ever going to a game seven. I mean, it was just dominance. Now, you know, maybe that in and of itself tells you that they were a super team not competing against super teams, but basically winning every time you got there, and not winning easy, because some of those series weren't easy, but they never went to seven, and so it just feels like it was dominance, and he was the most dominant player on the most dominant dynasty. Then how can he not be the GOAT? And today's NBA, and again, so by the way, those super team, the Bulls being a super team, it kind of happened. It's not like,
oh, that was organic.
It was organic. You know what I mean? Other than maybe Rodman coming, but I mean, Rodman was kind of like, you had me thinking Batman and Robin. Rodman was kind of, he was like a loose cannon. So you knew that he was good, but like maybe he could derail them at the same time. So it's just different. It's not the super teams like we're thinking of super teams right now.
And Kukoc was a moving part. And by the way, Horace Grant before Dennis Rodman.
That's right.
For those
who might
not know that, but keep going.
Right. And so the glue was Jordan and Pippen. And Jordan was obviously the greatest basketball player ever. But in today's NBA, where, I mean, the best of the best get together, like top three or four players get together solely to win championships, to beat a team like that, is, I think it has to have a little bit more weight. It has to. I'm not sure it's going to convince me to make LeBron the GOAT, but it will make me think of LeBron as the most unique champion that we've ever seen.
But you've been saying that for a long time, so that doesn't change your opinion. You've been saying you have framed that for a long time that way, that it delivers the most unique resume. If he's not the GOAT, and you're with me, he's not. It's still Michael Jordan.
Yep.
And, you know, quite possibly always will be. I hear you on that, and it's an incredibly unique path. And you look at as an extension of that, forging super teams and, you know, making the league transient, which, by the way, some people kind of hold against LeBron.
Yeah.
Because his player movement has deprived some markets, smaller markets, of holding on to the superstars. But here's where I think Perk is onto something. I really do. Now, there's a chance, and it's a good one, that when it's all said and done, LeBron James, he's going to eventually get past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, most points all time in NBA history.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to finish top 5 in assists. He's going to finish top 10 in rebounds. He's going to have a boatload of MVPs, a ton of championships. Now, the one thing, if you really want to do this fair, at least pertaining just to the comments of Perkins pertaining to the elevation that this would provide LeBron James, if you're not inclined to think LeBron's already, and we're not. The teams that Jordan beat, now I'm not going to sit here and say he beat bad teams. I'm not saying that. But, you know, he beat a Blazers team. All right, Clyde Drexler, Hall of Famer, terrific. Mm-hmm. Who was the second superstar on that team? I mean, you know, you had Jerome Kersey, you had Duckworth. I mean, you know, you had Terry Porter. Like, the answer is really nobody. You look at the Lakers team. That was a diminished team from the Lakers, obviously, of the mid-'80s, who were hooking up with the Celtics every other year, right? You look at the Indiana Pacers, Reggie Miller, great player, no championships, but to me, still an all-time great. And then you look at the second-best player with Reggie was, you want to go Rick Smits, depending upon the year, it's kind of fluid.
Yeah.
If, and this is a huge if, and I don't trust Kyrie Irving enough to make this a declarative statement. That's why I'm prefacing it with if. But if Kyrie Irving comes back and is Kyrie Irving and he is locked in, and for the next couple of months, no interruptions, no cancellations, or few cancellations, we watched the Brooklyn Nets just eviscerate teams. Not going to stop you on defense, but doing whatever they want offensively, flirting with a $150 a few times a week, averaging $130, Durant in the race for the MVP, James Harden, exactly who James Harden is. You know, Kyrie Irving, by the way, who was putting up 27 points and shooting 46% from downtown, 42% from downtown, and 57% overall before he bounced, right? That may have been the best Kyrie Irving's ever played in his career. His stats are off the chart. His efficiency is incredible. If that actually happens, I don't believe that you can find a better team, or at least in terms of a team with more absolute all-time NBA icons than that Nets team if LeBron is to beat them. And again, you go through the great teams, you know, all right, Wilt was a little bit old at the end with the Lakers. Elgin Baylor never won. I mean, we go through this all the time. Kevin McHale was terrific. Robert Parrish was really good. Robert Parrish is not even a top 10 center. He's not. He's not an all-time great. He's really good. The Lakers, Kareem was diminished. I mean, Byron Scott was really good and not an all-time great. James Worthy was, and Magic was, and that's it. So if you really look at this, like, it forces you, number one, you better know your NBA history, otherwise you're not going to feel this. If you know your NBA history, I'm not saying you're inclined to agree, but it's got to open up an avenue of thought, because the enormity of the accomplishment, beating those three guys with MVPs, in 20 years, Kevin Durant, he's already won, will be a top 10 player all time. James Harden might be the best scorer of all time. And again, I don't know what road Kyrie's going to travel down, but based on what we've seen, I mean, what point guards in the history of the game have been better than Kyrie? Isaiah? Tiny Archibald?
Yeah.
John Stockton? Very short list.
Look at Kendrick Perkins getting himself, like, national love just by saying something about a team that might not even play together.
I appreciate that, because it's not the same recycled regurgitation, number one. That's why it caught my attention. And as a guy who has staunchly, unequivocally stated, Jordan, don't even waste your time. It's Jordan. I don't want to hear it. Jordan. Stop. Jordan. Like, I don't even want to engage in the conversation, and I really haven't, because I didn't think it was close. This, at least for me, I'm not trying to convince anybody, opens up an avenue that gave me enough thought that lent a lot of credence to what Perk said. I thought it was an outstanding point, and I thought it was a great conversation. Good job by Perk. I wanted to bring it on the air.
That's all. Yeah, we'll see. Got a lot of things got to happen for that to happen.
We shall see. I hear you. Update from...
And the Lakers getting there.
And that's true. Well, Lakers are getting there. I'm not worried about that. Lakers are getting... Lakers will be waiting. I don't know if the Nets will be waiting. Lakers
that's
will be
call.
Waiting.
Good point.
Yeah. You know? So, Teek, let's get the update. We've got Ack on top of that. Gary Myers, get back to the NFL. Divisional round matchup. Maybe some Hall of Fame stuff. He's a voter and author as well. And good buddies with Tom Brady. Axe update is right now. This weekend, the NFL playoffs continue on CBS. The AFC's down to four teams remaining, with the defending champion Chiefs still the team to beat. Who's going to take the next step on the road to Super Bowl 55? Find out this weekend when the AFC divisional round plays out, only on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, jumping around today. Some good stories, some fun items that we've hit. Appreciate you guys jumping in on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney. You miss anything, go back and get it. Urban Meyer stuff, Kyrie Irving stuff, Perkins comments about MJ and LeBron with the GOAT stuff. Teek, right now we get a chance to chat about the NFL. We go back to that. We're joined by Gary Myers, who was with us, I guess, about, what was that, 2 months ago?
Yeah, around that. Yeah, right when you launched, right when you launched the podcast.
Yep, and he obviously knows Brady very well. He does this podcast, but that's the podcast that he's referencing. We know about that. He's an author, been around the game a long time, well sourced, well connected, NFL Hall of Fame voter as well. What up, Gary? How you doing today, pal?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing? What's
good.
Going on there?
Yeah, all is good. Hey, Gary, I should have listened to this and I didn't. But you add bonus episodes to the podcast, which is great. The podcast, by the way, for those who are looking for it, it's the GOAT Tom Brady. You can find it wherever you get podcasts. But you did a Belichick or Brady versus Belichick podcast 2020. What did you make of the Brady versus Belichick that everybody talked about all season long? Obviously, Brady won because he's in the postseason, and Belichick had one of his worst seasons ever. But what did you make of it?
Well, I think that it's probably the most intriguing debate of the first 20 years of this century is who is responsible or who is more responsible for the Patriots' success, Teek. And the way I look at it, I give Belichick all the credit for drafting Brady in the sixth round. He was the seventh quarterback taken, but he was also the seventh player taken by the Patriots in that draft. So it's not like Belichick knew what he was getting. But I give him credit for taking him and developing him. But once Tom got his feet on the ground and took over for Bledsoe and won a championship, I think it was more Brady that sustained that success that led to a dynasty than it was Belichick. And I think what's happened this year really kind of backs that up.
Yeah, no, you're right.
A mediocre quarterback to Belichick, and he couldn't win. And you give a mediocre coaching staff to Brady, and he's got him in the divisional rounds of the playoffs. So advantage Brady.
Yeah. Do you think that, you know, the evolution of the Tampa Bay offense and some of the struggles they had earlier, Bruce Arians calling him out, is that all worked its way through their system? Are they primed to be a competitor in the postseason?
You know, it's really interesting with Arians calling out Brady, as you mentioned. Tom was not used to that publicly, but privately, Belichick used to do that to him all the time in practice and in meetings, you know, and Tom, being very thick-skinned with that stuff, would take it. And, you know, everybody else sitting in a meeting room was saying, well, if Tom Brady doesn't flinch or complain when Belichick is getting in on him, then nobody else could. But, you know, one thing I want to mention to you guys is, I know everybody's kind of jumping on the Bucs bandwagon now, and listen, they have played great.
Hey, Gary, by the way, I'm not, but keep going. Okay. I'm not, and I haven't been. I'm not.
Well, here's why I'm not convinced yet. They're going to their bye week having lost 3 out of 4. The 3 losses were against the Saints, which was the largest margin that Tom had ever lost a game. I think it was 34 points, and he was horrible in that game. They beat Carolina, and they lose back-to-back at home to the Rams and the Chiefs. And then they have their bye, which you think would be an opportunity for them to say, okay, it's just not working here. Tom is not a deep ball thrower. Not saying he can't throw it deep, but that's never been his game. I think that they probably went through and every play of the season to that point and said, okay, this is working and it's not working. And then you say, okay, whatever they did, they're getting results. But look at who they've played. And I think it's a big deal. Atlanta, Detroit, Carolina, Atlanta again, and Washington. It's not exactly murderer's row that they've been feasting on.
Yeah.
And now this is the true test on Sunday night in New Orleans. You know, the Saints defense has been Brady's kryptonite this season. He's probably played his two worst games of the year against them. And if they're able to win this game, then I'll be a believer. And I think they've gotten further than maybe some people thought they would when they were struggling at midseason. But to me, the whole thing does not work, and it's not a success unless Brady gets into the Super Bowl either this year or next.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's a fair statement. We were talking to Gary Myers, author, NFL Hall of Fame voter as well with us here, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You know, what is your assessment? How would you categorize Russell Wilson's season? First 8 or 9 games, superb rating, whatever it was, 94, 95 by PFF. Last 8 weeks, like 72.5, which was second to worst in the NFL. And he didn't look to be the same player. Now, I'm sure there's reasons for that, and that's where you can certainly guide us. But I find it to be a pretty interesting dynamic here, Gary, because as Teague and I have discussed so many times, all the years where Russell deserved MVP votes, if not an award, he was largely ignored. And it seems like he doesn't get the just praise that he deserves, but it also seems like he doesn't get the criticism like a lot of other quarterbacks when he earns it. It's an interesting space to be. What did you interpret from Russell Wilson this season?
BT, I thought it was really interesting early in the year when he was playing great. All you heard about is Russell Wilson. Not only had he won the MVP, he never got an MVP vote, one single vote.
Crazy.
And, you know, what an injustice that was, you know. And, I mean, obviously it got me thinking because I have one of the 50 votes. But it seemed this season followed a pattern for at least the last few years where he gets off to a strong start and they tend to run out of gas down the stretch. Now, I don't know if that's because they don't have a real strong running game or they rely too much on Russell and the offensive line doesn't protect him well enough and he takes a lot of hits. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not a big guy in height, but he's thick.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a skinny guy. And but, you know, you hit any quarterback enough and he gets sacked enough, it's going to wear him down. And I think that's what's happened to him over the last few years. Now, Brian Schottenheimer took the fall for it by getting fired when a few weeks ago I was hearing his name as a potential head coaching candidate somewhere. So, I just don't think that Seattle team has been the same since the interception by Malcolm Butler in that Super Bowl. I think that was a very, very hard thing to get over psychologically when you're so close to winning back-to-back and beating Manning and Brady back-to-back in the Super Bowl. And then the dumbest call in the history of professional sports cost them that game when all they had to do was hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Yep. I just think I think that organization just hasn't been the same since then, and you get so close and you can't do it, it's really hard to get back.
Yeah, as they have found. Yeah, we don't have a ton of time here, but you know, let's get to some of these head coaches or potential openings. Urban Meyer looks like he's going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars job. That might happen. Is there like a name that we haven't been talking about that's going to surprise us and all of a sudden be announced as the head coach of the New York Jets? Or are we on the same path that we usually are?
No, I think all the names have come out. The two that are new this week because of the Eagles joining the group are Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma, and I don't think he's leaving there. And then today they asked permission to talk to Kellen Moore from the Cowboys, and that one really kind of surprised me.
That's a weird one, but, man. That is weird.
You think maybe if he gets hired there with the indication that they got to at least give Jalen Hurts a fair chance to win the job next year, you know, and maybe what Kellen Moore has done with Dak Prescott has impressed the Eagles people, but I mean, he's young. He had an opportunity to go back to Boise State as the head coach, and he turned that down. I guess I shouldn't say he's young, because when Sean McVay got hired, what was he, 17 or 18 years old?
Just about. Yeah, just got back from the prom. And I'm sure he did well at the prom.
Those are two names this week. But other than that, it seems like it's the same group of candidates that's being interviewed by everybody.
Do you see Bienemy
like 9 or 10 guys and 7 openings?
Do you see Bienemy getting a job this year?
It's really astounded me that until Deshaun Watson spoke up, that Houston had not interviewed him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that one at all. And I won't understand it, really, if he doesn't get a head coaching job. I mean, what else do you want?
Yeah.
The guy's been around Andy Reid. I think the unknown is what percentage of the plays does he call? But even if he doesn't, I mean, he wouldn't be the first guy to get a head coaching job without being the play caller.
That's true.
And he's got – I don't know him, but he's got a real strong leadership-type personality, and the players there really like him, and Mahomes loves him. I mean, that would be good enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gary, good catching up, buddy. We won't see you down at the Super Bowl this year. We won't see anybody, but I'm sure we'll get you back on at some point. Thoroughly get into some Hall of Fame stuff, and enjoy the games this weekend. Thanks for hopping on, man. Appreciate it.
If I can just say that people want to listen to the podcast, it's called The GOAT, Tom Brady.
Yep.
And Tiki, this year we're getting Rondé in, and next year I promise you I'm making a strong push
nice.
For the Hall of Fame.
I appreciate it. And if Rondé doesn't get in, if Rondé doesn't get in this year, can we go in together? That'd be cool.
That would be like the coolest thing ever to see. I can only imagine the look on your mother's face at that.
It'd be unbelievable. Gary, I appreciate you, my friend.
That would be sick.
All right, take care, guys.
Good job, Gary. I'll introduce you guys, T. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
Can I present you?
Yeah, you know what? We'll go up, because you know what? You have like however long you want, right?
Let's go
do a radio show up there.
Oh, dude.
Can you imagine?
I'd be all over it. You know, that's the only Hall of Fame I've never been to.
I haven't been to that
one
either.
Never been to Canton.
Well, we went because we did the Hall of Fame game, but we didn't have time. It was weird. Like,
well,
we
never playing at that point.
I mean, I know, but we didn't have time to like even go. Like, we're there for the play of the game. Like, I think we like peeked in and that was it. It was kind of like, eh.
Yeah, you know,
I need to go to that one too.
Oh man, when you're a kid, you just kind of perceive it differently. You know, you're like, I got a game.
They've upgraded it too. Also,
yeah, BT. No, I know.
It's like beautiful now. So.
No doubt. We'll get there at some point.
Yeah,
we'll
have an excuse next year.
Exactly. Coaching vacancies. We're going to get back to that. Third hour coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.